are friends with Fantasy Benefits.
Mike, how hard are you right now?
Oh, man, I've been hard since you said, hi, welcome to Friends with Fantasy Benefits podcast. That's 3 weeks of the year automatically with Cooper that you have to sit there and be like, I don't know if I can start them. You know?
You never make those grunts again, Mike. We are friends with Fantasy Benefits. Why do you hate Tony Romo? Real quick, I'm looking at your rankings and
because he's fat, bro. He doesn't know how to stop eating McDonald's past 3 a.m. First off, don't come at me about my rankings.
We are friends with Fantasy Benefits.
Second off,
fine, well, we won't talk about Romo. Why don't we talk about your disrespectful Blake Bortles ranking? What the fuck is up with that?
Okay. Why did we all of a sudden make this an NFC East situation?
We are friends with Fantasy Benefits.
Welcome to episode 81 of the Friends with Fantasy Benefits football podcast. I'm your host, Mike Werner. You can reach me on Twitter at MikeWernerFWFB. And with me today is my old pal, my friend. I feel like I haven't talked to you in forever, Mr. Eli Rosenzweig. What's up, dude?
Oh, man, yeah. That was just a huge void in my life. And now that you're here on the podcast with me, it's filled. So I'm all in good spirits here.
I think you're in the opposite of good spirits, but whatever. Where can people reach you on Twitter if you're ever on Twitter?
Not on Twitter much, but if anyone wants to yell at me or get my ask for my advice, you can tweet me at EliFWFB and I'll be able to get right back to you. So I'm a good resource if you actually want to ask questions, but no one ever does.
All right, well, let's get to it. We are going to continue our division previews here. We are going to go into the AFC West today, so we'll just talk about all the fantasy impact from each team and from each position. So we'll start off with the Denver Broncos, and you know, up top we have a quarterback competition between three guys that, you know, I don't know if it really matters between all three of them. You have Mark Sanchez, Paxton Lynch, Trevor Siemian. Who do you think ends up starting the majority of the games for the Broncos this season? And how do you think it impacts the Broncos offense as a whole?
I think it's going to be Sanchez. When it's all said and done, I think they're going to go with the veteran and they're going to let their defense lead the way in the running game. They're just going to want a quarterback to kind of manage the game, limit turnovers. You know, Sanchez is capable of making plays from time to time. He's not terrible. I know he gets a bad rap, but he's fine. I think it obviously hurts Sanders and Thomas a little bit. He's not exactly an elite quarterback, but they'll still be productive because they're gonna have to throw the ball. So I think the receivers will be fine. Sanchez is not. You're never gonna want to put him in your lineup, even in two quarterback leagues. I think he's like the last case scenario or bye week quarterback type guy. I don't think you're ever going to want to be starting Denver quarterbacks no matter who it is at any point this year.
Yeah, I agree. I think that this is a really bad situation for the Denver offense in terms of their pass catchers. You know, I do think Mark Sanchez ends up starting week one. I will mention that, you know, in this last preseason game, Trevor Siemian, who had been the guy that hadn't been making any mistakes in practice or in games, just threw a pick six. And Mark Sanchez has thrown had three turnovers so far in the preseason, as well as looking pretty hideous in practice. Gary Kubiak.
Well, hold on a second. Mark Sanchez never looks hideous. All right, that's a beautiful man right there.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't have the butt fumble or anything. Never happened. But Gary Kubiak mentioned today actually that Paxton Lynch isn't out of the running to start in Week One, which from a fantasy perspective is by far the best case scenario for the Denver offense, in my opinion, from a fantasy situation. Again. You know, so if I'm putting, you know, if I had to make a decision, I would say Mark Sanchez is going to be the guy for this team. Again, I don't even think he's quarterback two worthy. I would, if you're speculating that late in the draft on a quarterback, I would hope that you already have one, that you're, you know, going to rely on, and you just, you know, throw in a bid on Paxton Lynch later on in terms of, you know, just possible upside for the long run. Is that your take as well, or are you sticking with Sanchez the whole season?
I think it'll be Sanchez for a while, and if maybe they fall out of contention or Sanchez really struggles or gets hurt, then it'll probably be Paxton. I just don't see the defending Super Bowl champs rolling with a rookie quarterback. I know Lynch has got a lot of potential, but I just don't see them relying on him this early.
I mean, they have a great defense. What are the chances of them? How about this? If they ended up being really good to start the year with Sanchez, you would assume they would just continue and roll on with Sanchez the rest of the year. I mean, they had Peyton Manning back there at the helm last season, so it's not like they're, you know, not used to having somebody that's subpar back there. But, you know, say they end up, you know, doing terribly at the beginning. Not terribly, but they're mediocre. You know, their bye week is, I believe, in week 11. Week 11 is their bye week. So if they end up doing kind of mediocre, you know, like, say, 5-5 going into the bye week or so, don't you think that there's a case to be made that Lynch could end up, you know, seizing the role from that point forward?
Yeah, certainly. But I just think this is all a waste of time. I mean, what even if that happens, are we going to be confident rolling out Lynch in fantasy lineups, even in two quarterback leagues? I mean, I think in a two-quarterback league, maybe towards the end of the season, Lynch has some value, but like that's just so far down the road. Like that's not even something we have to worry about. He's not a guy to be stashing on your bench.
No, and I don't think that either, but it's more in terms of the weapons on this team. So, you know, we'll definitely keep our tabs on that. For now, I think all of them are undraftable at this point. CJ Anderson, a guy that I loved last season, based on the limited workload that we saw in 2014, I was willing to take him very high last year. Right now, going in about the third round, where do you have him ranked, and are you in on CJ Anderson this year, Eli?
Yeah, I'm in. As we discussed, the quarterback situation isn't exactly great, so they're going to rely on a defensive running game type of thing, kind of like Seattle does, and Anderson, he got some crap last year, but he did average 4.7 yards carry. I mean, I know it was a little bit of a disappointing year when he only ran for 720, but he's really talented. He's the clear number one. I know they got Devontae Booker and Hillman, who are very good backups, but I still think Anderson gets the majority of the work. He's a good goal line back. I just think he's going to have a really good season. I have him, I think, running back 13 or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, I like CJ Anderson a ton this year. You know, mind you, I'm going to be praying that he doesn't get injured, but we haven't heard any injury issues so far in camp. I know the football guy Cecil Lammy is a Denver, you know, reporter, radio guy for them, and he has, you know, said nothing but glowing reports about Anderson so far this year as opposed to last season when he had just a ton of, you know, nicks and bruises and a lot of things that kind of made you a bit weary going into, you know, drafts last season, you know, as opposed to this year where we're just really not seeing that stuff. You know, I'm completely in. He, again, is a third round guy, somebody that I think, you know, you can, you know, be assured will be at least a running back two for you, probably more along the lines of a running back one. From week 12 last year on, he ended up being the number 11 running back in fantasy. So, you know, if he is going to be getting the majority of the workload, Gary Kubiak offense is ran through the running back. It's a zone scheme. Anderson flourishes in that role. I think that he's going to be a top, you know, at least top 12, 13 back this year with the upside for higher. The guys that are behind him on the depth chart, I know the most interesting is Devontae Booker. We also have Ronnie Hillman, Juwan Thompson, Capri Bibbs. I know all of them are no names. So what do you think about Devontae Booker?
I'm more on the team. I know rookies are fun and flashy and exciting, but I mean, Hillman had 863 yards last year with 7 touchdowns, averaged 4.2 yards a carry. And he's a veteran. He's always been productive. I think he's for me, he's the handcuff, and I do think this is a situation where you kind of have to handcuff. What do you think?
Yeah. As far as Hillman is concerned, he's been talked about not even making the roster.
Yeah, I'm calling bullshit on that.
And maybe that is, but at the end of the day, you know, he doesn't play special teams. I know they're talking about converting him over that way, so that he can, you know, add some value to the team regardless of whether he's, you know, touching the ball or not. But, you know, Devontae Booker is the guy that is the number two running back here. He has that attitude of, I'm going to be the best at my position. I mean, he came into camp saying, you know what, I'm going to beat out everybody on this roster. Obviously, he's not going to beat out CJ Anderson, but he's got the pedigree. He is a very skilled receiver out of the backfield. I think in PPR leagues, he's certainly a guy that, you know, you should keep your eye on and should draft. You know, for me, I think he's going at an affordable spot, and he's certainly worth you know, the draft spot for me. I mean, he's going outside of the 13th round at this point. I'm completely in for grabbing Booker, and I think for sure if you have CJ Anderson, you have to grab Booker just in the case that he goes down or anything like that. This is a team that's going to go through the running game in their defense, so having the backup is certainly something that I feel you should do. Let's go to the wide receiver. You don't think any other running back like Capri Bibbs or Juwan Thompson has any value, right?
How many running backs do they have value on this team? Come on. No.
As far as the wide receivers, Demaryius Thomas, where do you have him ranked? Or are you drafting him this year?
I have a number 17. I'm probably not going to draft him this year. I think obviously the step down in quarterback. Well, I know Peyton Manning was a disaster last year. Look, Demaryius Thomas is a stud. He's going to get his yards. He's going to get his touchdowns. He's going to get his receptions. He's going to be solid no matter who his quarterback is. I just don't think it's going to be as consistent as it has been in the past. I just think he's going a slightly earlier than I like, so I'm probably not going to get him, but I wouldn't blame anyone for taking him. He's about as safe as it gets.
Yeah, he's got a pretty nice floor, especially in terms of targets. He's going to be the guy that gets targeted the most. I think that he, you know, at least gets 150 targets this year. That's coming off of a year last year where he accumulated 177 targets. The red zone looks will probably be there for him as well. I'm just not drafting him, you know, and that's it's mainly because of the quarterback situation. Gary Kubiak is a guy that, you know, likes to have one receiver do okay, but I think in this case, Demaryius Thomas is more of a wide receiver too. And that's just my opinion. I have him ranked right now at wide receiver 14. I am definitely going to revise that. I would take T.Y. Hilton above him. I don't know how you feel about Hilton, but I really like T.Y. Hilton this year. I would take him above Thomas. I would take Sammy Watkins above Demaryius Thomas. I would take Jarvis Landry above Thomas. I would definitely take Eric Decker above him as well. I think that's a perfectly good thing to do, but I won't have to make that decision because all those guys are going later than Demaryius Thomas right now in drafts. Again, not that I dismiss the talent, because I think Demaryius Thomas is one of the best receivers in football, when you look at talent alone. But the quarterback situation and the fact that Gary Kubiak runs a scheme that is heavily influenced by the running back position, I think just, steers me clear of the pass catchers here. Emmanuel Sanders is the same way for me. I have him the lowest ranked among any.
Yeah, you got him 10 spots after just about. I'm the second lowest at him at 27. You have him 10 spots lower.
Yeah, because I just don't believe. I think that he is a borderline wide receiver 3 this year. I think there's going to be some matchups where you're like, you know what? I'll play him against, San Diego, at home, because they'll probably end up blowing them out and he might get, some more care, whatever it might be. New Orleans, if they're playing New Orleans this year, maybe play them there. But, Carolina week one, I don't think Sanders is going to do anything there. Indianapolis, maybe, I think there's going to be spots where you can play Emmanuel Sanders, but I'm in no way, shape, or form comfortable having him be an every week starter for me. Right now, he's going in the fifth or sixth round. He's the 28th wide receiver off the board. I much rather would take Dante Moncrief. I would take Allen Hurns. I would take Tyler Lockett for sure. Michael Crabtree, I think, is safer. There's just a lot of guys that I would rather take above Emmanuel Sanders.
Well, I think I understand the concern. I just think he's more of an elite receiver 3. Yeah, I feel like you're thinking like he's barely going to get in there. I just think he had 135 targets last year. He's going to get 1,000 yards. The touchdowns may not be great, but again, I think he's kind of, he's similar to Decker, I feel like.
Yeah, there are more injury concerns with Sanders. The fact that the quarterback situation is in flux worries me a ton. I've just, with Peyton Manning there, especially in his golden years, I mean, it was really just an automatic start for Emmanuel Sanders. But I think that this is going to be kind of the year where it kind of all breaks down a bit. And I'm not saying he's going to be terrible. I still have him in the top 40 wide receivers, but I don't think he's going to be an automatic start each week. I guess we'll see. I think that this offense can support one wide receiver, and that's Demaryius Thomas. And I don't think it's even going to be to the point where he's a wide receiver one at that. Any other wide receivers on this team that you are looking at? We still have Benny Fowler rolling around there. I love me some Cody Latimer. I still don't think he's going to have any fantasy value here, especially if I don't think Emmanuel Sanders will. But I do think that fantasy owners should keep their eye on him because he is a very, very talented receiver. He's already been vocal about the fact that Peyton Manning just intimidated him and he was just kind of walking on eggshells.
That is so weak, dude.
It is like, weak.
I've always liked Latimer and I've been holding on to him in a deep dynasty league. I actually just cut him the other day, but I do think that he's a guy to keep your eye on, especially if someone were to get hurt. Maybe something could develop with him, but if it didn't happen, I know Manning sucked last year, but 2 years ago Manning was pretty damn good, and Latimer did jack shit. He didn't even get on the field.
And that was his rookie year, though.
I know, and there were two really good guys ahead of him. I understand that. There are reasons to think maybe something could breakthrough with this guy, but I'm a little skeptical, and I'm not gonna lie, that excuse was pretty fucking weak on his part.
And I agree with that, but he is a very talented guy. He's somebody that I think is just good to keep your eye on. I think people are automatically assuming he's a bust, especially since that draft class. That wide receiver draft class was borderline the best of all time, in my opinion, with Kelvin Benjamin, Mike Evans, you can go on and on about the draft class itself. So the fact that Cody Latimer is one that, was taken in the second round that year that could have panned out and just hasn't to this point, I don't think it's a fluke that he was taken in the second round. He certainly deserves that pedigree. And I feel like either if he goes to another situation or if he ends up getting an opportunity this year, he's worth, speculating on in deeper leagues. The tight end position has been, kind of in flux for this team. Last year, they ended up rolling out with Owen Daniels. This year, they're going to roll out with Virgil Green, it looks like. And, you know, I know he's not a very, you know, big pass catcher, especially, you know, in this offense. He's been way more of a blocker, but that's because he's been a solid blocker. You know, at Nevada, he was a solid pass catcher, somebody that, you know, was a bit dynamic in the field. We've seen some of his playmaking ability. Don't get it twisted here. I'm not sitting here saying, like, hey, we need to draft Virgil Green. But Gary Kubiak runs a very tight end oriented scheme. I think that Virgil Green could, you know, be a guy that catches, you know, 30, 40, 50 balls this year in your deeper, like, two tight end leagues.
No.
I'm trying to give a little love to all leagues here, bro.
Yeah, it's pretty – I mean, he may be one of the least talented starting tight ends in football, and he's got a bad quarterback throwing to him, and he's got several clear targets ahead of him. So this is going to be a really bad season for Denver tight ends. Really, really bad.
At least Garrett Graham, who has been having a good camp, is rolling around there too, so there you go.
Yes, yeah, studs everywhere in that tight end core.
Let's move on to Kansas City Chiefs. Alex Smith. Where you have him ranked? Are you drafting him this year? What do you think about it?
He's always underrated. I know he's not flashy, and he doesn't throw a lot of touchdowns to receivers, but he's still pretty solid in two quarterback leagues. Like, if you want to wait forever to grab him as your second quarterback in two QB league, it's not so bad. I mean, he's really safe. He's pretty consistent. He's not going to have a lot of big weeks, but he's not going to murder you a lot. So, he's about the least exciting quarterback in the world, but in two quarterback leagues, he's perfectly reasonable. If you have a stud at number one.
Yeah, I'm just, I have him ranked 24. I think that's a solid place to have him. He's firmly in a quarterback two. You know, I mean, like, he's somebody that's not going to be too flashy at all, you know, and he does provide some running for you. So if you're, in a league where, in the majority of standard formats where it's 4 points for a passing touchdown, I mean, Alex Smith was the top 15 quarterback last year when it was all said and done in standard formats, at least from week 12 to week 17. So, there's times and stretches in which he can be a borderline quarterback one for you. But for the most part, this is another run-oriented offense that, really relies on its defense. I'm really not drafting Alex Smith anywhere, even though he has a pretty cheap draft cost, almost a 16th round at this point. It's kind of whatever. Nick Foles is behind him. In case anybody is wondering if Alex Smith goes down, you can go through that experience. I would not do that if I were you.
I'm sure Justin would.
I'm sure he would, because he's the forever lover of Nick Foles. It's kind of insane at this point.
He has a lot of weird man crushes. Let's see, Kendall Wright, Brian Quick. I'm sure there are more, but they're all really embarrassing.
Leviticus Murray, Jamias Winston.
He loves Matt Jones for some reason. Although I guess that's reasonable, but I just feel like Matt Jones blows, but that's just me.
All right, let's talk about this running game for Kansas City, because this is where people are really going to be kind of focusing on in drafts. Jamaal Charles, is he a running back one for you this year?
No, number two. I know he's really talented, and he doesn't have he does have some decent players behind him, but I'm sure they're going to give him a ton of touches, and he's a big part of their offense. But he's had a lot of injuries. Coming off a big one. He's getting older. He's still a goddamn stud, but I'm just a little worried about him. I wouldn't be shocked if he finishes an RB1. I just have him at running back 14 just because he scares me a little bit. But I should probably move him up a few spots, but let's be real. There's a lot to be worried about.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's somebody that has been not injury riddled in his career, but he's had multiple injuries at this point. He's hitting the point where, he's 30 years old, which is always kind of something that people are concerned with. I have him as a running back one currently in my ranks. Do I feel comfortable with it? Absolutely not. I do believe that, even though he will get a more limited workload this year, which, some people might be a little bit worried about, I think it might be a benefit to him. There's some guys like Charles who just benefit more from having a reduced amount of touches and could do more with those, as opposed to rolling them out for, 20, 25 touches a game. You can possibly, give him 13, 14, 15, somewhere in there, and still get about the same production and not get him beaten up as much. He's been a top running back for multiple years now. The problem is that we have two people behind him in Sharkandrick West and Spencer Ware who could certainly kind of dig into that workload a bit. Who between West and Ware would you have as a handcuff behind Jamaal Charles, and are you targeting either of them in drafts?
Well, I definitely think you have to go Handcuff if you take Charles. It is tough to decide which one. I know Ware was incredible last year after West got hurt, averaging 5.6 yards a carry, scoring a bunch of touchdowns. I still think that West is the primary guy. If Charles goes down, I think it's going to be West. I just think he's younger, more talented, a better pass catcher. Ware is solid, but I still think he's more of the third guy. So I'm going to roll with West, but I definitely think you have to Handcuff here.
I absolutely agree. Well, I don't agree with West. I agree that you have to Handcuff. The thing about Ware is he's the guy that's been getting the majority of the, you know, first series, you know, reps with the offense. I just feel like he is the better between the tackles runner. No, he's not as skilled as a receiver, but if you want immediate production, I think that Ware offers that, even if, you know, Jamaal Charles stays healthy all year. So that's just me. I think that this could be a situation where, you know, Charkandrick West, if Jamaal Charles stays healthy all season, is more of just a guy that sits on your bench as opposed to being a guy that you can actually use from time to time. Ware, for me, is the person I'd be targeting in this situation. I have him as my 47th running back. I'm actually the only guy that ranked him on the site above the last pick, apparently. I guess we ranked to 65 and everybody ranked him, you know, about that last pick area. I think that he's going to be worth a pick at some point in your draft, just based on the fact that he can be a running back three in this offense, even if Jamaal Charles stays healthy all year. Really solid. Like, I don't know, you know, why everybody's so low on him.
It's like I said, it could definitely be Ware's job if Charles goes down, but it could be West. It's just whoever you like more. You like Ware more, that's fine. It's perfectly reasonable after what he did last year. I'm just I don't know. I just hope Charles stays healthy and this isn't an issue, but definitely back him up, because you I feel like the top 10 or 15 running backs, you have to Handcuff. You just have to.
Yeah, this is a big, you know, Handcuff season. You know, a lot of times I'm not really into grabbing, you know, Handcuffs, and I'm just not somebody that does that. But in this day and age of fantasy, especially in this running back environment where everybody seems to be getting injured all the time, I think that you just automatically have to do it. I think Ware is the best guy to grab based on draft price in this backfield. I don't mind West. If you have Charles and you want to just back him up, I don't mind grabbing West. So do what you will there. Anybody else in this backfield that you are kind of looking at in any way, shape, or form? I don't really see much here besides Weston. Yeah, you know, Niall Davis is still running around there. I know they have DeAnthony Thomas.
I mean, this is one of those. No, unless two people get hurt, don't ask me these questions after we talk around about three different running backs. All right.
In terms of Jeremy Maclin, you know, he was a borderline wide receiver one last season, and, you know, a lot of people were kind of fading him because he went from the Chip Kelly offense to Kansas City. I have him ranked as my 18th wide receiver. I'm the highest on the site with Maclin. Where are you at with him, and are you drafting him this year?
I'm a little lower. I got him at receiver 24. Maybe I'm being a little too hard on Alex Smith. Alex Smith and Jeremy Maclin did seem to have a pretty good connection last year, a bunch of targets, over 1,000 yards. 8 touchdowns. I think maybe the touchdowns might take a dip. I think that's kind of what I'm worried about. But he's really solid. I just don't think I'm going to end up with him.
To put it in perspective, you know, Alex Smith targeted Jeremy Maclin last year 124 times. The closest person to him in targets was Travis Kelce. So that, you know, just to put it in perspective, that's how big of a, you know, piece of the pie Maclin owns on this offense. Yes, you are getting Jamaal Charles back, so, you know, you can kind of implement that into your, you know, actual analysis when looking at these guys. But I think Maclin is a solid get right now. He's going about fourth round value, a little bit ahead of guys I like a bit more, like Eric Decker, which is probably why I haven't ended up with Maclin a ton. You know, Eric Decker is a guy that we just talked about last, you know, podcast, that I think is going way under-owned or under-drafted. And, you know, as far as Maclin, I definitely think that he's worth that price, but there's just a couple of receivers behind him that I've been gravitating to more just based on draft costs alone. Doesn't mean I don't like him, but, you know, take that for what you will. Albert Wilson, Chris Conley, Rod Streeter, any of these guys tickle your fancy?
Albert Wilson is a talented guy, but he's always going to be like a slot guy who every once in a while has a big play. But don't worry about him. Conley's a guy to keep your eye on. He did have a rough rookie year, but he's a big guy. He's fast. He's definitely got potential. But again, I don't think this offense is going to be able to sustain two receivers. He's just going to be pretty inconsistent with him. But he's definitely got to monitor, and maybe at some point he'll be worth an ad.
Absolutely agree. Wilson, I think, is very talented, like you mentioned. I'm not going to be drafting him anywhere. It's kind of the, you know, kind of a little bit worse situation than the Denver quarterback problem. You know, I just don't think that they can support, you know, two wide receivers at the, you know, at the cost that we want, at least. In terms of Chris Conley, I love him to death. I still have him in multiple keeper leagues. I'm going to keep those shares in the scenario that Jeremy Maclin goes down. I think that Conley is the best deep threat on the team other than Maclin, and would certainly be at least on the wide receiver three, you know, radar if Maclin were to go down. So I think, you know, I'm okay with gambling on Conley late, but as far as, you know, right now in redraft leagues, I think that there's better gambles to take later on in the draft. You know, both of them, Albert Wilson and Conley, are going at a point where, you know, it really doesn't matter when you take them. They're kind of just late round flyers if you wanted to go that route, but there's a lot better situations to gravitate to. In terms of Travis Kelce, you know, I'm kind of beginning to think that this is who he is. I think that he's just kind of a borderline, you know, top five, top six type of tight end. You know, right now he's the number four guy off the board. You know, about fifth round is where you can take him. I just think that there's better values late. What about you?
Yeah, I agree. I really like Kelce, but I do think that this is kind of what he is. He's really solid. He's going to get a fair amount of targets in that offense. Better, you know, 70 catches, 800 yards, a handful of touchdowns, but nothing crazy because Alex Smith. So, yeah, I think I'd rather wait on tight ends. I know he's like kind of the end of that elite tier, but I think I'd rather just pluck a guy or two from the middle tier at much later in the draft.
I've already talked about Martellus Bennett. I'm completely in to grab him a little bit later. Antonio Gates is going later than Travis Kelce. That's another guy I'm completely fine with rolling with. Julius Thomas is going approximately four rounds later. I'm okay with doing that. Dwayne Allen is, you know, pick 140 right now. I'm okay with doing that. There's just a lot of names that I would much rather go with. Not to say that I still think Kelce is going to be a, you know, top five tight end this year. I just don't think that the value is going to present, or it's going to be that much better than taking one of those other tight ends later. Is there any other tight ends that are on this depth chart that we should maybe keep our eye on? We have James O'Shaughnessy, who has gotten a little bit of buzz this offseason, Demetrius Harris, any of those guys, you know, that you would care about if Kelce were to go down?
No. Not with Alex Smith, sorry. All right. Not talented enough to make a difference.
Football season has returned, and so has the Fantasy Black Book 2016 edition. Number one in fantasy sports for the eighth straight time on Amazon, Kindle, and on iTunes. The Fantasy Black Book has all of the information you need this season to separate yourself from the herd. The Fantasy Black Book is just $4.99. That's half as much as your precious magazines. Football is coming. The Black Book is ready.
All right, let's move on to the Raiders. Derek Carr, you know, showed out pretty well last season. I'm not going to lie. It was somebody that, you know, I know Justin and I on the, you know, on the podcast pretty regularly were talking about. Liked him a ton. He's going to start off this year with New Orleans, Atlanta, Tennessee, and Baltimore. I know Matt Bowie, who we just had on the AFC East show, was a big advocate of taking Tom Brady and then rolling Derek Carr out as your guy that you roll out for the first 4 weeks of the season. Where are you at with somebody like Derek Carr for 2016?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I'm rolling with the Tom Brady, Tony Romo plan, but the Derek Carr plan is probably even better. So
are you talking about Tony? Are you talking about Tom Brady and Dak Prescott plan? Or are you talking about the Tony Romo?
Get out of here with that. I do like Prescott, and I'm kind of excited, but obviously Romo. But yeah, Carr. I mean, he's got an elite receiver in Amari Cooper. Michael Crabtree is really underrated. It's a much better offense than people thought it was going to be. He threw for 4,000 yards last year, over 30 touchdowns. He's getting better and better. He's maybe not going to be a star, but he's pretty damn good. So I think he's definitely going out of value, and I think he's an elite QB2 and a pretty decent QB1.
You love Derek Carr. I mean, you are much higher than anybody else on the site with him.
Well, I mean, I have him at 13, one has him at 16, one at 17. Kind of like Justin says, like after like the top eight guys, like 9 through 18 or whatever, it's like it's pretty much all the same. There's really not that much difference within them. So even though I have them, what, like 5 spots ahead of you, I'm sure where we value Carr is really not that much different.
Yeah, my worry with him is – that, you know, I love the offensive line, so I'm not going to sit here and say that I don't like Derek Carr, because he gets protected well. He has a solid run game behind him. He has talented receivers around him. He has a nice tight end as well. There's a lot to like about Derek Carr, so I like him a ton. I have no problem with people drafting him this year. My issue is, you know, based on the cost alone, I think that there's other guys to draft later that can provide the same offensive upside. He was consistent last year, and I'll give him up for that, but you know, the second half of the year, really from week 12 on, he was outside of the top 15 quarterbacks. Right now he's being taken as the, you know, number 12 quarterback, so you're banking on a little bit more progression from him. And there's just guys around him. You know, Phil Rivers is going just like 3-4 picks ahead. I'd much rather go with Rivers based on where the Chargers are at, and we'll talk about Rivers in a second. I'd much rather go wait a little bit and go with somebody like Matthew Stafford, you know, even Ryan Tannehill. I like those guys a lot later on in drafts, and I think that, you know, they present the same upside that Carr does. I have him as my 18th quarterback off the board. Again, it's not that I don't like him. I just think that, you know, based on the team as a whole, the Raiders as a whole, I think they're going to win a lot more games this year, and they're going to be competitive. And I think it's going to actually be a detriment to Carr, kind of like it will be with Blake Bortles as well, because I think they're going to lean on the run game a little bit more, and you won't be seeing as many shootouts that Carr had to go through last season. So, and he also benefited from a massive, you know, three-game stretch in the middle of the year against San Diego, the Jets, and Pittsburgh. He had, you know, a combined 11 touchdowns in those three games. Two of them went for over 300 yards. You know, that I know you can, you know, take out stats for anybody and make it look a certain way.
Yeah, I'm calling bullshit to that argument.
I'm being realistic. I'm just saying that at the end of the day, I don't think you'll see that type of stretch happen again this year, and we'll see him as more of a, you know, borderline quarterback one, maybe more of a quarterback two, as opposed to, you know, where he's being drafted as a solidified quarterback one right now.
Why do you hate Tony Romo? Real quick, I'm looking at your rankings, and
because he's fat, bro. He doesn't know how to stop eating McDonald's past 3 a.m.
And Dak, he's always like a top 12 guy when he's healthy, and he's healthy way more than you think. It's just, he's had a couple catastrophic injuries, no doubt. But for the most part, he plays a full season and toughs it out. So I think you're an idiot with your Tony Romo ranking. But, well, why don't we continue with AFC West?
Okay. Why did we all of a sudden make this an NFC East situation when, you know, I wasn't on that show with you and Justin? I'm sure that you gave nothing but glowing reports about your—
Hey, look, we're talking about quarterbacks. I'm looking at the rankings. I mentioned the Brady Romo, and you said, you know, Brady Carr. So I just thought I'd throw in your disrespectful Romo ranking, right?
It's not disrespectful, bro.
And, well, okay, well, fine. We won't talk about Romo. Why don't we talk about your disrespectful Blake Bortles ranking? What the fuck is up with that?
Blake Bortles is trash. That's what he is. He's absolute trash.
Okay, well, he's got, even if he's overrated and is not as good in real life as he is in fantasy, we are talking about fantasy here, and he does have pretty good receiving.
Of course he does. Of course he does. And I know that, you know, but
the Do you, though? Do you, Mike?
Maybe not. Either way, first off, don't come at me about my rankings. Second off, as far as Tony Romo goes, it's because I believe in Ezekiel Elliott so much. So that, if I feel like that team is going to run.
Well, hold on a second, though. Romo's best season fantasy-wise, I think, was the year that DeMarco Murray went off. So I think you're...
Are you sure about that?
I think I am, actually. Look, Romo's had a lot of good fantasy years, but he had his best season statistically when DeMarco Murray went off, because they were always in the red zone. He threw a bunch of touchdowns. He rarely turned the ball over. I'm looking at the stats right now. So why don't we continue with the Oakland running game, and at some point I'll pop in with the Romo stats.
Please do, even though that year he was, fifth? That was his fifth lowest yardage season.
But he had 31 touchdowns and 10 picks. And he was a monster.
Yeah, he was all right. Anyways, off topic, and as far as Bortles goes, I think it's the same thing that I mentioned with Derek Carr, is that I think the team's going to be more competitive, and we're going to be seeing a lot less passing situations in the red zone as we did last year. It's going to be a lot more run-oriented. You know, not to say that they're going to be bad quarterbacks. I just think in general, this is going to be a situation where the team outlook has changed, and they're going to be in more game script, you know, situations where they have to run the ball more to kind of eat out the clock and stuff like that. Speaking of eating out the clock, we have Leviticus. I almost called him Leviticus myself. Latavius Murray. I've never been enamored with him as much as everybody else has. And, you know, it's not to say that I think that he's, you know, trash like Blake Bortles. I just, you know, I have him as my 16th running back because I believe in the workload. I love DeAndre Washington behind him, so that's certainly something that I'm worried about a little bit. But I feel like this team's line can help out anybody, and Latavius Murray is going to be getting the majority of the looks the majority of the season, as long as he stays healthy. Where are you at with Murray, and are you targeting him in drafts?
Yeah, I think we're on the same page. You have him two spots ahead of me. I have him at 18. I think he's a pretty solid running back, too. Like you said, I think he's going to get a lot of looks. I'm sure DeAndre will take away some of the attention and maybe get some third down looks. But I think Murray has one of the – I mean, he's definitely the starter. I don't think he's going to have too much – I don't think he's going to have to worry about losing a job at any point. And a lot of running backs these days, you have to worry about job security. I just don't think that's the case with Murray. So I think he's pretty safe. It's a good offense. They're going to be in the red zone a lot. So I think Murray will be solid all year. He may not – I don't think you're going to get like a huge amount of return on your investment, but I just think you're not going to get disappointed.
Agreed. I mean, he ended up being just at running back 17 to close out the year, you know, from week 12 on. So, and the reason I like to do that is because I like to look at how people end the season, because a lot of times, you know, value kind of presents itself when you see how somebody finishes and how somebody starts, just kind of like in baseball. You know, if somebody, you know, really erupted in, you know, August, September, October, a lot of times they'll carry it over into the next season. So that's kind of the way I look at it from football as well. If somebody kind of did really well to end the year, a lot of times they'll start off the next season kind of carrying that momentum. As far as Murray, like I said, I'm not a big advocate of his talent. I don't think he's the, you know, craziest, you know, the most highly skilled running back in the league, but he is somebody that I think is going to be getting the majority of the touches and is going, you know, past a lot of these other guys that, you know, are in a bit of timeshares, you know, especially Thomas Rawls, Matt Forte. Those are guys that I think are, you know, definitely going to be in a bit of a timeshare. With Murray, I think he's going to be getting probably 70-80% of the touches, and especially the goal line looks. In PPR leagues, I'm not I'm going to be more reluctant to grab Murray in PPR, but in standard formats, I think that he's a top 15 running back. You know, we kind of mentioned the other guys on this roster, DeAndre Washington being their, you know, latest draft pick, who I think is, the firm handcuff in this situation. I know George Atkinson has looked really good, especially in the first preseason game. He kind of ran a couple long touchdowns, but that was again against, you know, third and fourth stringers, nothing to really write home about. But, anybody else on this depth chart that we need to mention? Tywan Jones is just kind of rolling around there.
No, I think those are the two guys. If someone were to get hurt, I'm sure maybe Marcel Reese would come from the dead or something. But otherwise, I'm not too interested in these guys.
Amari Cooper, where you have him ranked, and are you all in for this year?
Yeah, I think I'm kind of all in. Let me see where I have him ranked. I'm ending up with him in a lot of drafts. I got him at number 10. I'm the highest along with Justin. I just think he had a pretty special rookie year. I just feel like it's going to get better and better. He's going to get – Derek Carr is pretty good. He's going to get a ton of looks. Obviously, Crabtree takes some attention away from Cooper. That's good. I just think we're looking at a really special talent. And if how many rookie receivers have almost 1,100 yards in year one? He's only 22. This guy is a freak of an athlete. I just feel like he's going to have like 1,200 plus yards this year.
You very well could. I have him as my 15th. Ranked receiver. Last year in the red zone, though, Michael Crabtree was the guy that got targeted more. You know, so it's not that I think, you know, Cooper is going to be, you know, worse than Crabtree this year. I just think that they're, you know, Crabtree is a quality receiver. I like him a lot. I think he is the type of guy that is just, you know, offers a lot of security. Cooper is an absolute stud. Right now, he's the 11th wide receiver getting taken off the board, but you're going to have to pay a second to third round price for that. Me personally, I'm not willing to do that. I want to take Sammy Watkins above him. T.Y. Hilton, I'll gladly take above him. Jarvis Landry, I'll take above him. You know, Brandon Marshall was going one, you know, spot or a couple spots ahead, so either I'll take him as well. Alshon Jeffrey, even with the injury concerns, I'm willing to take above him. So this is more of a situation that I think that the Raiders are going to be a more competitive team. They won't have to rely on Cooper as much. Again, that equates to him in my rankings being a wide receiver, you know, 15 as opposed to a wide receiver 10. But, you know, there's a couple other guys that I think are in better situations for fantasy.
You're going to have to redo your ranks. I'm looking at your ranks. You got Landry 19 and Cooper 15, but you just said you'd take Landry over.
I would, yeah. And I do need to revise those.
I got to redo my ranks too. But I think we might have to make some type of board bet at some point on Amari Cooper, because I just feel like you're I understand that.
Do you think I'm shitting on him, even though I'm saying he's going to be the wide receiver 15? Because
no,
it's not shitting on somebody.
I do agree that, you know, where he's going in drafts, that he does have to take a decent sized step up for him to get that value. But I still think you're downplaying how talented he is and how, like, of course he's going to make a leap here. Like,
Yeah, and he was out targeted by Crabtree last year as well. It wasn't just the red zone, you know, looks. It was also just overall targets.
Yeah, no way that sustains.
No, and I don't either. But at the same time, you know, when you're facing Denver twice a year, those are automatic games. Like, you know, this is a week to week game. When you're seeing Amari Cooper face Denver, you're kind of sitting there like, you know, and that's your top receiver more than likely on your team, maybe your second receiver, that you're going to have to either sit or expect wide receiver 3 or worse production that week. That's twice, you know, and that's not including his bye week. That's 3 weeks of the year automatically with Cooper that you have to sit there and be like, I don't know if I can start him.
You know, you never make those grunts again, Michael.
Crabtree, he's going amongst the top 40 wide receivers. Where do you have him ranked? Are you as high on him as you are with Cooper?
Yeah, I love Crabtree. I got him at number 31, a couple spots ahead of you. I don't know why he's going so late. He's pretty – yeah, almost 1,000 yards, 9 touchdowns, got a ton of targets, like you said, more than Cooper. Yep. He's got a good quarterback, a good offense. I know Crabtree was a guy that has disappointed almost everyone in fantasy at some point or another, but he's clearly found a home in Oakland. I think it's a great offense for him, and he proved himself last year. He was pretty consistent throughout, so I think there's a lot to like. Maybe that he won't have crazy upside, but he's pretty safe.
I don't know. His upside seems pretty high to me. Last year, he was the 17th wide receiver in PPR leagues on the season. You know, even if you expect him to take a step down, what is that, like the 30th wide receiver? You know, right now he's going outside of that. He's going almost, you know, 37th at wide receiver.
And that's insane.
Yeah. So, you know, if you have him, you know, right now that's 88th overall. That's the 7th, 8th round for a guy that finished in the top 20 in PPR leagues at wide receiver. For me, I think that he presents nothing but value.
Yeah, I think people just have been burned by him so many times that they're just not buying it. And I think they should be buying it.
But you don't have to worry about it then. You know, I mean, if you're worried about the injuries, like, who cares at that point? Because you're spending a 7th, 8th round pick on him. It really doesn't matter. Now, I will say this. He's going at a spot where a lot of people are taking some of these, you know, kind of higher, you know, upside names, you know, not necessarily higher upside, but these other names that are looking a little bit shinier at the moment. You know, your Josh Gordon's, Sterling Shepard is getting a ton of hype right now. Marvin Jones is getting a ton of hype. Kevin White is a little bit above him. Tyler Lockett. You know, those are a lot of names that people are enamored with. I'll tell you personally, I'll take Lockett above him.
I was just about to say, do you have like a rule where you can't go 3 minutes on a pod without saying the name Tyler Lockett?
No.
You have an unhealthy obsession with him.
I do. And that's because people that I, you know, really like in the industry that I, you know, read their work and everything are insanely high on Tyler Lockett, and I trust
them. If they
told
you to jump off a cliff, would you do it too?
No, those same people are also saying to have a healthy skepticism for Josh Gordon, just like you yourself, and I will never have a healthy skepticism for him. He's always going to be close to me. So.
Okay.
Yeah, we just took an awkward turn, everybody. As far as the rest of the receivers on this team.
No.
Not even Andre Holmes, bro. He's going to have his proverbial 2-touchdown game at any time. You know it's happening.
More of a Seth Roberts kind of guy, but, you know, to each their own.
Yeah, if something happens to...
No, I'm just kidding. Who cares?
If something happens to Crabtree or Amari Cooper, I think that this is a kind of a fantasy dead zone, just somewhere that you just really don't target. A guy that was drafted last year, Clive Walford, is somebody that is being taken insanely late right now outside of the 20th round. So a lot of times not drafted in your standard leagues. Where do you have him ranked? Are you in for this season on somebody like Clive Walford?
Yeah, I think I need to move him up a little bit. I like Walford. I don't know why I'm 24. I'll probably move him up a handful of spots to maybe like 16, 17, something like that. I think he's going to beat out Michael Rivera, he's fair, but he's more of a good backup tight end to me. I think Walford's got the potential. I think he came on a little bit as the season went on, so I'm excited for Walford as a good tight end too.
Yeah, about 99 times out of 100, a rookie tight end doesn't do much, yep. Especially entering the league. You know, he's a very nice size. I kind of compare him to Dwayne Allen a bit. I think even with more athleticism, you know, he was taken in the 3rd round, so obviously they liked him a ton when they grabbed him. He's somebody that I think can, you know, be a borderline tight end one at times this season. Really inconsistent, but that's, you know, that's to be known with a rookie tight end especially. So we'll kind of check it out. I think that the fact that he's going so low, you don't really have to draft him right now. It's just something that you can kind of wait and see and hope for things to get a little bit better. Oakland starts off with New Orleans, who were bottom five in tight end, and defending the tight end position last year. So you could see Clive Walford be a nice DFS pick to start the year. Atlanta wasn't very good against tight ends either, and they get them the second week. Tennessee wasn't very good against tight ends. So you have 3 weeks in a row to begin the season where Clive Walford might be somebody that you see a lot of buzz about for DFS purposes. So, there's nobody really behind him at tight end that I would be looking for in any type of draft. So we'll just kind of move on from that. And that leads us with the final division, San Diego Chargers. We'll talk about Phillip Rivers to start off with. I love him this season. I've always been somebody that really doesn't draft him much, but I feel like the floor for him is at least, the 14th or 15th quarterback to end the season. I am ranked as my 13th quarterback.
I have him 11th, so I like him more.
Oh, well, isn't that cute?
Yeah, I view Rivers kind of like Romo. Like, people give him way too much shit. Maybe they're not going to win a Super Bowl, but they're put up really good numbers. They're good for their teams. Like, yeah, Rivers turns the ball over a lot, but he throws so much, and he throws for so many yards and so many touchdowns that it makes up for those turnovers. So, yeah, I love Rivers. He's an elite quarterback, too. He's a guy that I'm perfectly fine with as a QB1 most of the time. Guy's a stud.
I really don't have much to say other than that. I am a tad, we'll talk about this running game, but if for some reason Melvin Gordon emerges, which I'm not banking on by any stretch of the imagination, but this offensive line is still terrible. I feel like they're going to still be in games that are just complete shootouts. And if that's the case, you're going to see Phillip Rivers end up being a top 10 guy this year. So at his current cost, I feel like, you have every reason to draft him. He's going in the, Derek Carr, Eli Manning tier. So right around rounds 8 to 9 is where you can grab somebody like Phillip Rivers. He's going behind Blake Bortles and Eli Manning, just in front of Derek Carr, Jameis Winston, and Kirk Cousins. I think that's a pretty good spot for him. I definitely am taking Phillip Rivers ahead of Bortles. I have Rivers, I believe, a little bit behind Manning right now, but just because I love Eli Manning this season. So, take that for what it's worth. But I think Rivers is just a solid guy to grab. You'll probably get a little bit of upside, but not a ton out of him. As far as this running game, we'll kind of touch on it here. Oh, I do want to mention Rivers, though. I talk about how people end the season. He was the 18th quarterback from week 12 on. Mind you, that was without pretty much any weapons. So, take that with a grain of salt. The running back position, Melvin Gordon is the guy that, I hear a lot of people say they're all in for this season, which I don't know where you can feel like you're completely okay with going all in on Melvin Gordon this year, regardless of what he's looked like in some of his games. He's had a couple long runs in the preseason here, but then when you look at the rest of the stat line, he doesn't do anything. So, this offensive line for the Chargers is a complete mess. I don't think people really understand just how much of a mess this offensive line actually is. If Melvin Gordon can't avoid contact more than any other running back in this league, which is basically what he would have to do, he's outside of me being, okay with drafting him as a running back too. Where do you have Melvin Gordon ranked? I know you, perennially have hated him, at least since last season when he came into the league. I'm assuming you don't like him.
I don't hate him. He was terrible last year. The no touchdowns thing is hilarious. It's, partly bad luck, partly just he was not good, but the 3.5 yards of carry was egregious. I know the line's not great, but still, that's embarrassing. Look, I just think that he doesn't have – look, we all love Danny Woodhead. He's a solid player. Any team would be glad to have him, but he's more of a third down guy, change of pace kind of guy. He's not going to get a ton of carry. So this is Melvin Gordon's job. They've got to give him every opportunity. Where he's going in the draft, you don't need him to break out. You just need him to have a starting job for a good chunk of the year, and he's going to be – fine for you. You may not gonna rely on him as your running back too, but where he's going, you put him in your flex and from time to time, and if he breaks out, then you got some serious value. So I'm probably gonna end up with Gordon in a lot of leagues, honestly.
My problem with Gordon, above the fact that the offensive line is absolutely hideous, is that Danny Woodhead's the goal line back. Last year he ended up getting all of the carries in within the 5 yard line. On top of that, he was targeted at a 37-14 advantage above Melvin Gordon in the red zone last year. Danny Woodhead is their red zone running back. And in standard leagues, if you're, if you're banking on Melvin Gordon to, assume that role, that's just false. In terms of what's happened to date, Danny Woodhead has been the guy there. And then in PPR leagues, are you going to sit there and tell me that Danny Woodhead is not as good of a pick as Melvin Gordon in that format? No way. So in both PPR and standard, I'm taking Woodhead above Gordon until he proves it to me. I will admit that I've liked a few of the runs I've seen from Gordon, and he looks like he is more confident this season. He was very talented coming into the draft. I get it. You know, I am rooting for Melvin Gordon to do well this year, but I'm definitely not comfortable taking his top 6-round pick to find out whether that's going to be the case or not. I'd much rather wait a round or two and grab Frank Gore. I'd rather take a shot on Chris Ivory and TJ Yeldon combo, D'Angelo Williams, Arian Foster, Jay Ajayi, just any of that, Charles Sims as well. There's just a ton of guys that I would rather find out if you know, their production is going to be a little bit better than waiting or than baking a top 6 or 7 round pick on Melvin Gordon, who it just the situation doesn't seem like it's going to be a very good one for fantasy owners.
You know what, Michael? You're starting to piss me off.
Why?
Yeah, that's right. I said it. You have Danny Woodhead ranked behind Melvin Gordon on the website.
I need to revise things. I mean,
I feel like your rank is wrong, man. All of them are wrong.
Well, but we're also doing it for standard.
I'm the one who has Woodhead ahead of Gordon in both PPR and standard. So you're full of shit, and everyone should be listening to me.
We do our rankings based on standard leagues, and at the time, I was under the assumption that Melvin Gordon was going to be getting the majority of the goal line looks. Based on further research, it seems to me like Woodhead is going to be the automatic dude. Brandon Oliver, I think, is always just somebody that you keep in the back of your mind. In case Gordon goes down, he will be the guy that kind of comes in and assumes a, you know, not full-time role, but probably 60 to 70% of the, you know, actual workload there, with Danny Woodhead obviously, you know, continuing his nice role that he has. In terms of the wide receivers, Keenan Allen is returning from his injury last season. You know, what do you think, man? You and I kind of talked about it earlier in the year, but, you know, how high are you on Keenan Allen coming into this year?
I don't remember talking to him about you. I don't remember about talking to, about Allen with you. When was this?
Very, very little bit. We talked about how high everybody was on Keenan Allen. Oh, no, that was Justin. Sorry, I mixed you all up.
Yeah, you know what? Don't ever confuse me with that man, all right? Yeah, I love Keenan Allen. Like I said, Rivers, he turns the ball over a lot, but they chuck it all over the place all the time. And I don't think the receiving corps is all that special. Travis Benjamin's fine. He's a decent wide receiver too, but Allen's going to get a ton of targets, 150-plus, I feel like, if he stays healthy. And if that's the case, we're looking at a 1,200-yard season potentially with a fair amount of touchdowns. I think Keenan Allen is like about as elite wide receiver too as it gets.
Yeah, he was on pace to be top 5 in targets last year before he went down. If you look at it from week 1 to week 8 in standard leagues, though, he was not a top 20 receiver, which is a little bit of a problem for me. I completely buffed on that. He was actually a top 4 receiver. I just missed his name. In PPR, he was a top 4 receiver. In standard, he was not as high. You know, I think in, you know, regular drafts this year, especially PPR, you certainly have to put him as at least a top 10 wide receiver for me. Where do you have him ranked right now in standard?
14. I might move him up a little bit, though.
Yeah, I mean, he was a really good red zone threat for them, too. I am a little worried about, you know, we'll talk about Gates a little bit, but I have him ranked 16 right now. If I was to revise it, I probably would push him a couple spots higher in standard. And PPR, I think he's a no doubt, you know, top 10 receiver. So I'm not really worried about that. It's just kind of tough to do both, you know, sides of the coin with PPR and standard formats here.
Yeah, I'm not going to give my PPR thoughts because I think you're a bad person if you play in a full PPR league, but that's just me.
That's ridiculous. You're a bad person for saying that. In regular standard drafts right now, Keenan Allen is getting taken in the top 30, which means you're going to be spending about a top, you know, you're going to be picking him probably about round 2. I think that that's an okay place to take him, especially in PPR formats. I would bump him up above Amari Cooper. Him and Mike Evans are like right there. I probably would feel a little bit safer about Keenan Allen than I would about Mike Evans, even though Evans doesn't have the injury history that Allen does. I'd probably bump him above Alshon Jeffrey. So just to put it in perspective, I think that in PPR leagues, he should be bumped up to about top 10. In standard, I think top 12 to 15, 16 is about right for him. You mentioned Travis Benjamin. I love Benjamin for this year.
No, you don't. I love him. I got him one spot higher than you.
Oh, isn't that convenient? Where do you have him ranked?
47.
So I have him 46. I just think he offers some pretty decent.
No, you got him 48.
Or 48, I mean, sorry.
Wow, nice math, bro.
Dude, it's been a long day.
I don't want to hear it.
He's going outside the top 10 rounds right now, which means to me that he is a very good late round add. I will say I like Torrey Smith a bit more based on where he's going. He's a couple spots behind.
I'm so sick of the Torrey Smith shit.
And then Michael Thomas from New Orleans is also behind. I really like Michael Thomas. I don't mind, you know, grabbing either of them, but if you're not going to grab either of them or they're taken, completely okay with going with Travis Benjamin. I think that he's a really nice deep threat that can assume that Michael Floyd role.
I got to move Benjamin up. He finished 28th last year among receivers in Cleveland. That's impressive. Now he's with Phillip Rivers.
But
he's a clear number two. I think I got to move Benjamin up.
But that's with, you know, Josh McCown throwing to – not that that matters, but it's the fact that he was pretty much the number one option except for Gary Barnage, you know. So, like, that was kind of fueled by the fact that he just didn't have a lot around him. When you factor in that Keenan Allen is going to get a ton of looks, Antonio Gates will surely get his, you know, with – you know, what does he need, 8 touchdowns to get the record. So you're going to be looking at guys there that it's just kind of tough for him to bank on getting the same workload he got last season. So I think – you know, I think he's a wide receiver 3-4. Some weeks you'll be – you know, more prone to start him than others. But I think that he's going to do a really good job of assuming that Malcolm Floyd role, which really was nice for fantasy owners in some of the years in the past. You know, as far as the other wide receivers on this team, you know, are you enamored with any of them? I know I really like Tyrell Williams as a late round, just speculation ad, especially in case somebody, you know, went down. I'm not really into Dontrell Inman, James Jones is whatever. Same with Javonte, like Herndon and stuff. Any of these guys, particularly Tyrell Williams, are you interested in?
Is Stevie Johnson still alive?
No, he died. Unfortunately,
I think I like him the most, but you know. Who knows what's going to happen between those guys, but I think it's going to be a big cluster F, and you're not going to want to play any of those guys, even if someone were to get hurt.
Yeah. For Dynasty and Keeper, I think Tyrell Williams is a guy that you need to just keep your eye on. He's gotten some buzz here. He's a pretty solid receiver in terms of athleticism. Definitely good at jumping and getting to the ball at this highest point. Undrafted, so, you know, take that for what it's worth. Tight ends, you know, we have Antonio Gates there. Hunter Henry is behind him, and I think he's somebody that's getting a little bit more buzz than probably is needed at this point. But he is, you know, if Gates were to go down, Hunter Henry is somebody I would definitely be okay with, you know, speculating on or just keeping in the back of my mind. But where do you have Gates ranked, and are you all in for this year knowing that he's going to break the record?
I got him at 13. I'm the lowest of everyone. He's solid. He is pretty old. He's a freak of an athlete. He's still going to be productive. He's still going to be the main guy, but I think Henry's going to get more attention. Keenan Allen's back. I just think that Gates is going to slowly erode fantasy production-wise. He'll still be solid, but I think people are getting a little too excited about this.
I don't think he is going to be – first off, he in the red zone, he just dominated last year. Ladarius Green did get a ton of looks as well, but I think in general, I think that that's going to go to Hunter Henry. So at worst, I think, you know, Henry is a guy in standard formats that you can look at as a tight end too in your deeper leagues, you know, 16-team, two tight end formats, whatever, that can possibly, you know, net 3 to 5 touchdowns this year, which would be nice. But Gates, I think, is an automatic to get at least 8 or 9 touchdowns, just – Not just the record, but the fact that he's just so heavily targeted in the red zone.
I don't know, man. I mean, how many tight ends get 8 or 9 touchdowns? I know Gates is a legend, but he's 36. He's been banged up a lot. I think you're crazy to be banking on 8 touchdowns. I think you're just asking for trouble. I think, what, last year, what, only 2 tight ends did? Gronk and Reed?
Yeah.
And Eifert.
Yeah, Eifert got 13.
Barnage had 9. So only 4 tight ends had 9 or more. I think you're crazy. I think we're looking at 6 or 7 for Gates.
Maybe. I mean, I think that they're going to do everything they can, though, to get that done. He was a top 12 guy in standard last season, but this is kind of like the difference between that and PPR. In PPR, he was just one spot under. So I think that the receptions for this year will go one step further, where he won't be as much of a PPR asset. In standard, I think he will assume the, you know, I think he'll accrue those touchdowns is pretty much what I'm getting at. It might not be 8 or 9, but I think he's going to end up having more than 5 just based purely on the fact that he's not going to miss 4 games unless he, you know, gets injured or whatever. But that's going to wrap us up, Eli. Tell us where we can reach you.
And, you already asked me that. I'm not telling you again.
Well, tell us again because we need a reminder.
You can find me on Twitter at EliFWFB, but none of you will, so I don't know why I'm spewing that nonsense again.
You can reach me on Twitter at MikeWernerFWFB. Check out the multiple football podcasts we're going to be rolling out each week. Keep continuing to listen to the baseball shows. OfficialFantasyRings.com is our sponsor. Go on there. there and put in the promo code FWFB for 20% off at checkout. Please rate and review the podcast, baseball and football. Give us a 5-star review. It really helps us get noticed by other people and helps our popularity, other than Eli, who completely kills our popularity in himself. And as far as baseball goes, you can check me out on fantasypros.com. I do Rays updates. And you can also check me out on baseballhq.com. As far as football is concerned, we have our ranks up at the site. We have multiple articles up there. And you can also read my Houston Texans updates on fantasypros.com as well. So for Eli and myself, stay hungry, my friends. Every night.